Welcome again to another broadcast of Transforming Grace. It's a pleasure to bring you this message again today. If you've been listening along with us over the last few weeks, you'll know that we have been studying the miracles in the Gospel of John. And today we are continuing with the miracle recorded in John chapter 11 that we often call the raising of Lazarus from the dead. Last time we started into this passage at the beginning of John 11, and we're going to continue that again today and to see what God has to teach us in His Word. And as we begin, let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for all that it teaches us. We thank You that it contains everything that we need for life and for godliness. And I pray that today Your Word will impact our minds and our hearts and our consciences and change us so that our lives are more conformed to the way that You want us to live. Help us to learn from this. Help us to be encouraged by it too. And may it speak to those who do not yet know You as Lord and Savior. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last time we began at the first verse in John chapter 11. And we saw in the first six verses how that Jesus delayed responding to the message from Mary and Martha that Lazarus was sick. And he stayed where he was for two more days, it says. So Jesus delayed responding to them, and we're dealing then with this subject of God's delays in our life. And we noticed last time that God's delays are not necessarily denials. In other words, because God delays in responding to our requests, our prayers, and interceding for us in our troubles and difficulties, does not mean that God is necessarily saying no, or that He is not going to intervene or respond to us at all. God's delays are not necessarily denials. And we showed last time two good reasons why sometimes God delays. Firstly, we notice that God sometimes delays responding to us in order to show us His love. Now, this sounds like a strange reason for delaying His response. But it's very clear from our verses in John 11 that Mary and Martha knew that Jesus loved them. When they sent this message to Jesus in verse 3 of John 11, they said, "Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick." Now, naturally, you would respond to that by thinking that, well, if he has that kind of special relationship with them, that affection for them, that friendship, that bond with them, that he would respond all the more quickly. But instead, it says that he delayed going for 2 days. And he said to his disciples, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." And then verse 5 says, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." So clearly, Jesus' delay was not because he had no concern for them. It was not because he didn't care about their circumstances, but underlying it was the fact that he did have a very strong affection and love for them and care for them. They were his very intimate friends. Well, how can it be then that Jesus would delay responding to them in order to disclose his love for them? Well, we need to understand that everything that God does for us is done because He loves us. Even His delays, even His discipline in our life, even His chastisement of us is because He loves us. Every single thing that God does for us in our lives is done because of His good purposes and plans for us and because of His great love for us. Perhaps there are lessons that we need to learn, and that's why He delays responding to us. But in so doing, we learn those lessons, we're drawn closer to the Lord, and that is an expression of His love for us, delaying responding to us in order that we would learn our dependence upon Him and that we would draw closer to Him, and that we would put Him first in our lives and recognize that He is sovereign over all of our circumstances. If that's the reason that God delays, then surely you can understand that that is because He loves us. Sometimes God delays in order to show us His love. And then secondly, we notice that sometimes God delays in order to show us His glory. Now in this instance, in the 2 days that Jesus delayed, that was the period of time in which Lazarus not only was sick, but he actually died. And by the time he reached Mary and Martha where they were, Lazarus had already been dead for 4 days. In other words, this was a period of time that proved conclusively that Lazarus was dead. No one could argue that he had gone into a coma, or he was unconscious, or he had fainted or swooned, or that any other condition had taken hold of him from which he subsequently recovered. No, this was a period of time in which it would have been known, the evidence was there, that Lazarus was dead. In fact, he had already been buried in a tomb by the time that Jesus came. And so to raise someone from that condition was indeed the manner in which he showed us his glory. Sometimes God delays in order to show us his glory. And what greater glory of God, what greater power of God, what greater manifestation of the sovereignty and the creative power of God could there be than actually raising someone from the dead? So although the situation deteriorated and Lazarus went from being sick to actually dying, the end result was that God declared his glory. And undoubtedly in this case, that was the greater purpose that Jesus had. Rather than responding immediately to Mary and Martha's message that Lazarus was sick, he delayed to the point that Lazarus died. And yes, of course, that caused Mary and Martha grief. They were mourning by the time that Jesus arrived there over the death of their brother. But the end result was a tremendous outpouring of Jesus' love, a great expression of his love for them, using his power that only he had to raise someone from the dead, and to cause them such joy and rejoicing when their brother was restored to them, and in the process to declare to all of those, not just Mary and Martha, but all of the observers of Lazarus's resurrection, to declare to them the great glory and power of God himself. So by delaying, God allows suffering to have its desired effect. It allows us to be drawn to him, to be dependent upon him, to recognize that he is Lord over all, and through the delay, for God to be glorified and our good to be brought about. And we don't think of delays as being good, do we? We like things to be fixed right away. We like God to respond to our prayers right away and just the way we ask him. But delays have a greater purpose in God's ways with us. Many people have experienced long delays over personal, family, and other concerns. Salvation of a loved one, or healing from sickness, or answers to doubts and questions, or whatever it may be, many people have suffered from long delays. But God has a purpose in all of it, and we need to recognize that and allow Him to work in and through the circumstances. And as he works through those circumstances, delaying his response to us, we need to examine ourselves and our relationship to him. Do we still trust him? Do we love him despite the fact that there is a delay in his response? Are you willing to cast all of your burdens on the Lord and to let God work things out according to his good and loving purposes and plans for you? That's a real challenge to us, isn't it? When God appears to be delaying his response to us. Well, sometimes he delays in order to show his love for us. Sometimes God delays in order to show us his glory. And thirdly, notice this, sometimes God delays to show us his purposes. Now let's read then in the 11th chapter from verse 7 down through verse 16. John's Gospel, chapter 11, beginning at verse 7. Then after this, that is, after he had delayed staying where he was for two more days, Jesus said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and are you going there again?" And Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." These things he said, and after that he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up." Then his disciples said, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well." However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him." Then Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." So sometimes God delays in order to show us his purposes. After waiting two more days, Jesus says to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." Now, going to Judea involved considerable risk of danger to Jesus, because the Jews there had tried recently to stone him to death. Now, you can see that if you turn to the 8th chapter of John and verse 59. John's Gospel, chapter 8 and verse 59 says, "Then they," that is the Jews in Judea, "took up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by." Now look again at the 10th chapter as well, and verse 31. John 10 verse 31 says, "Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him." So you can see that this was a dangerous place for Jesus to go. But he says to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." Nothing will stop God from carrying out his plans at his time. Now, this is so important to see when we're discussing this subject of God's delays in his response to our prayers and to our circumstances, that nothing will stop God from carrying out his plans at his time. And notice that it is at his time. Jesus warns the disciples from overestimating this danger of being stoned in Judea. He says there are 12 hours in a day. In other words, there's plenty of daylight hours to see by. You only stumble if you try to walk at night when there's no light. By this, he means that there is still time to do the Father's work. Even when the darkness of opposition is looming, there's still time for him, the light of the world, to act. And if the disciples keep close to him, they will have plenty of light to walk by. So the disciples, you see, saw the opposition, they saw the danger, the risk of Jesus going there, but Jesus has confidence that his life is in the Father's hands and his time is in the Father's hands, and that going to Judea at this time would not pose a danger to him. There was still time for him to carry out the Father's work as he walked in the light of day. Jesus explains that Lazarus has died. He says Lazarus sleeps in verse 11. Now, the term sleep is the Old Testament metaphor for death. That's what they meant in the Old Testament by sleep. That's how they referred to death. It implies that, of course, that the person will wake up. It implies that his condition is not the end of all consciousness. And Jesus says he is going to wake Lazarus from sleep. The disciples thought he was speaking of actual sleep. And since sleep aids the recovery of a sick person, they concluded that Lazarus would get well in verse 12. As usual, of course, you can see that the disciples had not understood the spiritual implications of what Jesus said. And so Jesus says to them plainly in verse 14, "Lazarus is dead." This is why Jesus had delayed 2 days beyond the Jordan before he began to move towards Mary and Martha's home. This is why he had delayed, so that Lazarus would die before he got there. Now this causes us to wonder and to question why on earth Jesus would allow Lazarus to go from being sick to dying. Why on earth would God do that? What's his purpose in this? My purpose, Jesus says, is that this is for your benefit. I am glad for your sakes, he says in verse 15, that I was not there. In other words, that I was not in Mary and Martha and Lazarus's home when Lazarus was sick. I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there in order that you may believe. Now, what does Jesus mean by that? Well, he means that my purpose is that you learn a valuable lesson from this. Jesus means that I delayed in order for Lazarus to go from being sick to dying in order that you may learn from this, and obviously Mary and Martha would learn from this as well. My purpose, he says, is that through this experience, your faith will be strengthened. My purpose is that God's glory is more important than anything else. It's more important than satisfying Mary and Martha's request. It's more important than keeping Lazarus alive. It's more important than anything else to disclose and declare God's glory. My purpose, Jesus says, is that the grief of this family is less important than the nourishing of faith, both theirs and yours. Do you see that in the text? That even though Mary and Martha would grieve and mourn because Lazarus has died, not knowing, of course, that Jesus would come and raise him again, the grief of that family is less important. It's not that it isn't important at all, but less important than the lessons that they would learn and the strengthening of faith, both theirs and the disciples. And so Jesus says, let us go to him. Let us go to where Lazarus is. The time had finally come to delay no longer, and undoubtedly the 2 days delay seemed like forever in the life of Mary and Martha, and probably in the experience of the disciples. That would seem forever when someone was so deathly sick. But the time had come to delay no longer. Everything in God's timetable for this event was set. In other words, the time had come in God's calendar when it was the appropriate and proper time to go to Lazarus. Everything was in order for God to show his glory. Now let us always remember that the display of God's glory is the most important thing. God glorifying himself is the most important thing in the world. For that is what God does. He displays his glory. And he displays it in such a way that we can see it. And when we see it, we bow down before him. We recognize who he is. We worship him for who he is. For if God had not disclosed his glory to us, how would we know him? And he disclosed his glory to us in creation as we look around us and we see the marvels of the universe that he has created, both in the sky and in the earth on which we live. We see the fingerprint of God. We see the power of God. We see the creation of God. And this brings glory to God. We see the glory of God displayed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to earth to manifest God to us. This was another way in which God disclosed his glory to us. And we saw that grace and truth in the life of Jesus displayed before men and women and boys and girls. And that glory that was displayed draws us to God. It discloses God to us. We understand God more than we would have if he had not come to show us who God is. So everything is in order for God to show his glory. Even his delays during our times of grief, during our times of trouble and distress, those too are for his own glory. Now for Thomas, this meant certain death for Jesus. And so he says, let us go that we may die with him in verse 16. In other words, Thomas was convinced that Jesus would meet with such opposition in Judea that he would lose his life. And Thomas is so committed to Jesus that he says, let us also go with him. And if he is stoned to death, then we will be stoned to death with him. Let us go that we may die with him. If that's what it meant, he was quite prepared to die with Jesus. For him, the call to follow Jesus is a call to die. This is the great lesson of discipleship. The call to follow Jesus is a call to die. Now, do we recognize that in our own lives? Do we know the truth of that? That if anyone will come after me, Jesus says, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. To take up your cross, you see, means to be so identified with Jesus that we're willing to die with him. And yet we so often don't think of discipleship in that way, do we? But the ultimate call and lesson in discipleship is that when Jesus calls us to follow him, he calls us to die. Now, there are three principles here that we need to learn from this. The first is that God's delays are irresistible. We cannot see the picture, the big picture, as God sees it. We can't see the implications. We can't see the outcome. We cannot see the consequences of these experiences as we're passing through them. Only God is omniscient. Only God knows the future. Only God knows all things. He alone knows the end from the beginning. We can't see the big picture as God does. And even if we knew what the outcome would be, even if we knew the implications of God's delays, there's no guarantee we would choose the route of the highest good for ourselves and for others, especially if that meant delaying the solution or delaying the termination of the experience, so that we experienced even more grief. Our imperfect desires, you see, make us want immediate answers. We are unprepared for and unwilling to experience the patient ripening of God's plans in our lives. And that's what it means. That's what it takes when God delays his response to us, that our faith is being strengthened and our patience is being ripened and tested. Our faith is being put under pressure in order for us to bow to and recognize God's plans for us. So the first principle is God's delays are irresistible. They are part of God's sovereign plan. We can't change them. We can't fight against them. At least if we do, it doesn't do any good. They are irresistible. God brings them into our lives for a purpose. The second principle is that God's delays do not contradict his love. He loves us as much when he remains there 2 days longer, ministering to others, as he does when he journeys to Bethany to meet our needs. And thirdly, the third principle here is God's delays are not denials. In other words, they're not final. He will come. He will take action. He will intervene for us. He does support us. He does know our needs. He knows our frame. He knows that we are just creatures of dust. And in his own time and his own way, he will come alongside of us. Often that is later than we would like, but from his divine perspective, his answers will always be right on time. For God is never late. Will you trust him in your trials and troubles? Will you let him show you his love, even though it's in a different way than you expect? Will you let him reveal his glory to you when everything seems hopeless? Don't forget to see God's purposes, to look for them, to learn from them, and to grow by them. Well, that's our lesson for today. Takes us up to verse 16 in chapter 11. We're going to continue on with this next time, Lord willing, and I trust that this lesson has been a benefit to you to strengthen your faith, to see that there are reasons for God delaying his responses to us, and we need to just trust him, for he is sovereign and he loves us more than anything else. Well, God bless you, and I look forward to being with you the next time on this program.